Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. Well, if nothing else, and there is always something else, I saw some big talent on Broadway this past week. Three of the best comedic names currently working in theater are appearing in a show that picks up where one William Shakespeare left off. The other is a revival of a revival of a revival of an Arthur Miller play, also with well-known actors heading the cast, so plenty of Tony nominations within the two productions. Well, we will start with the laughs. Gary, a sequel to Titus Andronicus. That is the full title, and the writer here is Taylor Mack. Now, he has occasionally given us pieces that last some 24 hours. This one runs 90 farcical minutes and stars Nathan Lane, Christine Nielsen, and Julie White. Directed by George C. Wolfe, it picks up where Titus Andronicus ended. That was Shakespeare's first tragedy, one that ends with a lot of blood, revenge, and dead people, long before Game of Thrones, by the way. The so-called sequel is about a pair played by Lane and Nielsen who come in to clean up the mess, as in hundreds of corpses-mannequins piled up on top of each other in a rather amazing stage set. The time has come for multiple autopsies, lots of body part humor here, and to deal with the afterlife and all that conjures up. There's also discussion on the subjects of tragedy and comedy and some nice passages. We wonder how to slow what has passed too fast. To make a long story short, everybody dies. Clowns want to save themselves, fools want to save the world. But they are too few and far between. Taylor Mack's script throws everything out there, rhyming, hoses and pumps, even humans baked in pies. Yes, we are in Sweeney Todd territory here. We are also in Trump territory, or at least the wink-wink style of it. It is time we had an emperor who knows a thing or two about how things work, says one character. Cue the applause. The audiences find much of this very funny, at least for a while, but there's a lot of shrieking from the three stars. Julie White comes in and out of the action. They work exhaustively to make every double take count and break the fourth wall whenever possible. I think I counted four endings before you were finally free to leave and return to the living. Gary is playing at the Booth Theater, and this is one show that will help or will be helped or fatally wounded, I would think, by the Tony Awards in June. Both the women are nominated. Fair enough. So is the show, taking one of the slots and many feel should have gone to Kill a Mockingbird. Well, I rarely turn down a chance to see Nathan Lane on stage, but this one, well, it's only for the diehards. Pardon the pun. Now, speaking of Tony nominations, Arthur Miller's All My Sons, a roundabout production at the American Airlines Theater, is up for Best Revival, as well as Best Actress for Annette Bening and Featured Actor for Benjamin Walker. It's rare for this play to be done when the performer in the main role of Joe Keller, who may or may not have contributed to many deaths in World War II, is not nominated. Well, Tracy Letts is appropriately powerful as Joe. Alas, his name was left off the season's list. Now, this play first debuted in 1947, which is the year it takes place. Other productions on Broadway were in 1987, and the most recent was 2008, which starred John Lithgow and Diane Wiest. The current production runs 2.5 hours, is 3 acts, it's 1 intermission and 1 pause, and is frankly the kind of play folks just don't write anymore. It takes its time, it builds, it is melodramatic, definitely not your teenager's show. Some of Jack O'Brien's director, he's the director, choices are odd, actors with their backs to the audience at times. And I found Bening's performance robotic, though clearly deeply felt. The most difficult role is that of son Chris, who has been home from the war for a few years, but is still emotionally damaged. Benjamin Walker does it beautifully. Two critically important characters are ones we never see, Joe's former business partner, who is now in jail, and the Keller's other son, Larry, who has not been heard from in 3 years. He's presumed dead, but, well, not to his mother, who remains in deep denial. "I want you all to act like he's coming back," she insists. The truth is the acting styles here are all slightly different and therefore leave us with a slight sense of emotional disconnection. Still, as always with Arthur Miller, there are powerful sentiments and wordsmanship on big themes: war, money, capitalist corruption, and all those sons. Rarely has a title of a play been used so effectively, by the way. Will the show win Best Revival on June 9th? I think it might, though Kenneth Lonergan's Waverly Gallery could also sneak in. My hunch is they give the Best Actress Award to Waverly's and call it a day on that one. It's interesting when revivals choose to appear and when they resonate as the decades pass. In certain ways, All My Sons, for example, feels more relevant than either Waverly Gallery or Burn This, the other main Tony nominee. Waverly deals with a woman's dementia, still a current issue, of course, but we know so much more about it that the play feels slightly dated. Burn This plays against the AIDS background and also feels like we have been there, seen that. The Miller play, by sheer coincidence, has a somewhat current issue as its key plot point, that of defective airplane parts. And other recurring words like exoneration seem, well, ripped from today's headlines. Not to mention that the subjects of fathers and sons and the lasting damage done by the death of one family member, well, those never get old. Now, I might bring up one other issue here. It's kind of interesting. The original director of the production of All My Sons was casting African Americans in two key roles. When Arthur Miller's daughter, Rebecca, objected, he left and was replaced by Jack O'Brien. Now, in the end, there are two African Americans, but not in those same roles, or not both in those same roles anyway. And while I, like Rebecca Miller, I imagine, am usually all in favor of colorblind casting, there are times that it's so initially jarring as to become confusing. And I felt that somewhat here, I must admit. Anyway, that too, Jill, is an issue that seems to never get old.
No, and I will be very interested just along the way to see how everything that is absolutely insisted upon right now, because otherwise you risk not being, let's say, attuned
or right,
woke, how it settles out in the next, several years. I am beginning to notice, a lot of papers haven't picked up on this yet, but I'm beginning to notice that as things are forced into the court system, which has its own rhythm, shall we say? You know, it doesn't ping as breaking news, so to speak. It's just right. Once it moves into that, it's
the new normal. Yeah. Well, it's interesting with the colorblind thing. The other revival that I mentioned, Burn This. It's interesting when I walked out of Burn This, and the person I was with said the exact same thing. We wondered why they didn't cast an African-American in one of those roles. It would have been very easy. I'm not saying that they should, but nowadays you just kind of expect it. And that's one where, why not? Why couldn't the main woman be Kerry Washington? Why couldn't, you know? So we're conscious of this even when they don't do it, and we're conscious of it when they do it, when it feels somewhat jarring. And I'm not sure exactly.
But that wasn't the point of it. The point of it was not to jar you. The point of it the point is to prove that it doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's as I said, that's the point. Can I say massive fail? Just generally, because instead, if you're sitting there and if you're a reviewer and you're ticking off, well, does it have a this? Do we have a that? Do we have a the other? The minute that you pull these out as identifiers, if you will, you've lost the cohesiveness of the whole. That's essentially what I'm trying to say.
Exactly right. But we've gotten so used to seeing it now that coming into a play, we're kind of wondering, okay, what are they going to do with, you know, where are they going to put the non-whites and all that? And sometimes it sticks out because they don't do it. Like I said, in this one, it just, this one was an odd one because you hear about this character, a white woman's brother, for such a long time. Finally, he makes his big entrance and he's not white, you know. And it just, it's like, oh, wait a minute, are we supposed to think something about that? Are they, you know, it just, so sometimes, and I got to assume that must have been what the objection was by the playwright's daughter. I don't know. I'd have to go back and see specifically if he ever left. I doubt that he ever left instructions, you know, never cast a, you know.
No. There weren't instructions. What they had wanted to do was, I believe, make the, and I don't have everybody's name, but who is the one that was not Joe Keller?
Oh yeah, the main character, Joe Keller.
Yes.
Played by Tracy Letts. Well, yeah.
And that was what got into, that's what started the brouhaha. Yeah. So I think that it would have been, to use one of my favorite words, inefficient to not do something.
Yeah, and I think what you were saying before about, especially because these two characters, one who is in jail, one who should be in jail, Joe Keller, you know, once you start talking, maybe that was a sensitive subject as well, if we're talking, because, oh, is he in prison just because he's black? You know, when the white guy got out, you know, what adds a different layer that we might bring to it that Arthur Miller never thought of. So, anyway, it's constantly interesting, but... you know, it will go on. Anyway, this week I'm seeing Hadestown, which also takes place. No, that one. This one takes place down under.
Down under, as in Seven Circle, or down under, as in Australia.
As in the underworld, which is, you know, goes a lot. I should have done it with Gary Titus Andronicus, where they talked about
the afterlife. That was one of those that I thought, well, I'm just from a visual standpoint, I'm going to need to skip. So I just...
Which one, Hadestown or Terry or Gary?
Gary.
Oh, that's, Gary, yeah.
I'm a... What yeah. are those people who can smell things? I am a visual... Yeah. I am so... I'm a visual blank, meaning if I see something that disturbs me, it stays with me for 40 years. And I just... You know, So I know what to subject myself to and what not to.
And frankly, that one's not good enough to subject you to that. You know, it's not worthy of that. You know, it's funny that I think the tourists laugh, but I don't think it's going to be with us too long. And I'd be surprised if it takes home a Tony. But listen, everybody's advertising very hard for Tonys. Look at your newspaper.
How much do those? I'm sorry. Those.
I agree. How much do those? You know what? A quarter page ad.
Yes. And so when I'm seeing two full page ads, or maybe a four page ad,
I agree. And who? I know the Tony voters don't really need to see the ads, because they're going anyway. They have to go see the show.
It's got to be for the people who they want. It's got to be for the audience. And it's the old more is, you know, instead of less is more, it's more is more.
That's right. And the one that surprises me, To Kill a Mockingbird, full page ads every day. They are selling out every single show until September. So why exactly are they advertising like this? They didn't even get nominated for the top one. They have a lot of nominations, and they'll likely win. But I don't quite get that. Every single day, there's a very big To Kill a Mockingbird ad. I have to think, maybe I'll do some investigating, what the theory behind that, that they want to show that they're already selling tickets for
many
next, you know, I don't know.
Many, many, many years ago, when I asked a person of a certain age a question, like, it's like, why is such and such? The answer was, search me.
That's right.
It's like, search me.
TV ads too, you'll hear the, I don't know. I'll have to figure out what that's all about. But listen, if you have a lot of money, they're making a lot of money on that show. But they're all advertising now. This will pass in a few weeks with the Tonys, but... And then they'll be running for their lives, as they say.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.